Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Rahalastapa. This one's got Vic Reeves in it again, aka Jim Moyer. And if you want to help us out with these podcasts, there's lots of great ways to assist us. You can just tell your friends about it. That's a great way to start. You can go to gofasterstrike.com/badges, become a monthly badger, get all kinds of extras like backstage videos, entry into a monthly draw, advance warning of all who the guests are. You get to see some stand-up shows as well. It's marvellous value, I have to tell you. Or you can go to gofasterstrike.com and buy some lovely emergency question books or DVDs like that one. Or you can just give me some free money for free. Don't do that. Anyway, let's go become a badger. Let's sit back. Come and see a show. Go to richardherring.com/gigs. New shows have been announced in Norwich in April 2020. And there's some more in London. And I think there's one coming up in Birmingham as well that hasn't been announced yet. And there may be a few more. And we've still got Hull, Sheffield, Northampton, all sorts coming up. So look out for those. Glasgow as well. Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy Rahalastapa with Victoria Reeves.
Well, now it's dark and I can't read what I'd written in here. I did have something. Let's put a light on.
Hello! Welcome to the Marlowe Theatre in Canterbury. Again, we're back. These lot are much better than last week's audience. They were pricks. Please welcome a man who's happy to wait 20 years to find out what his face will look like when he's 70. It's Richard Herring! Thank you very much, hello. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you very much, love to be back in Canterbury. I went home and came back again in the wedding. Well, I didn't wait a week, I'm not insane. There's a lot here, but, you know, not that much. Welcome to Richard Herring's Lactating Shania Twain podcast. Every week Shania Twain comes on and different
celebrity guests attempt to suckle at her dugs. I'm not sure if she is lactating at the moment. That's what we find out. And if enough celebrities suckle on them, will she start to lactate? That is the other question in sympathy. I was hanging around at the Canterbury Tales experience. Wonderful. It's an interactive experience with shop window dummies in bad wigs. And an unemployed actress dressed as the wife of Bath said she calls it Rehellastopus. I don't know if that's going to catch... That's going to catch on. I looked up the... I'm obsessed with these various around the country. This is very different. There's the Oxford story. There's the Jorvik one, which is the best one by miles. There's a couple of others. The Canterbury Tales is the worst one of them. It's even worse than the Tales of Robin Hood in Notting, which doesn't even exist anymore and is still better than the Canterbury Tales. All the TripAdvisor... I'm going to read some TripAdvisor... All the TripAdvisor ones, or even the bad ones, say everyone there was so lovely, the actors were so great, but it's terrible. That's so I'm not... The people who work there, I'm not impugning you, but someone says, I paid £17 for two students to see 35 minutes worth of rubbish, which consisted of a few wax dummies in a smelly dark room. That's what you're getting? Now, this one I think is unfair. One overpriced rip-off and doesn't do what it says. Didn't feel we went back in time at all. Not even a little bit. Let alone to medieval times. I'd have been happy with just World War II, like Gary Sparrow, but no. I googled Canterbury, and it comes up on Google, people ask, and these are the four main questions. These are the first four questions that people ask about Canterbury. What is special about Canterbury? That is number one. They had no answer. Even Google had no answer. What is Canterbury famous for? That's number two. What famous event happened in Canterbury? Because there could only be one. And we know what it was. The fourth question, though, is Canterbury a real place? Oh, fantastic. And the Archbishop of Canterbury is back. And, of course, the first Archbishop of Canterbury was St. Augustine, who said, God, give me chastity, just not yet. That was his famous... That's the kind of religious, that's the kind of archbishop I'd be. God, let me come into heaven, but I'll just apologise at the end for all the stuff I've done. He liked shagging St. Augustine. There were all the first 10 archbishops of Canterbury became saints, apart from one who died before he became the Archbishop of Canterbury. That's something I learned today. He was called something like Wigridden or something like that. Just a little fact for you, in case that comes up. You should know, it's your town. Anyway... My guest this week is probably best known for his appearance in the 1987 video for Shaking Stevens' single, What Do You Want to Make Those Eyes at Me For? For which he was paid £10. Will you please welcome the amazing Vic Reeves, ladies and gentlemen? If he's here. Ah, he tricked me. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You have to pick up your microphone, but you don't have to.
Turn off.
Yeah.
Turn that off.
Yeah.
My mum's about to ring.
There's a microphone, I think, up your bum now. Yeah. It could be a new emergency question. There it is, and it's gone. And it nearly went up as you picked it up.
Oh, it's quite fruity.
Is it?
Who was sitting on this previous?
Sean, it was Sean Williamson.
What a fruity... Ass.
Yeah. I didn't call him Barry from EastEnders once. I'm very proud of myself. I didn't call him Barry or anything. So you remember the Shaking Stevens video?
I do remember that moment, yeah.
How did you end up getting in the Shaking Stevens video?
I was... my agent at that time was Malcolm Hardy. Do you remember him? Anyone remember Malcolm Hardy? He was the bloke who did the balloon act first. Anyway, he was my first agent, and that was in the 80s. And he said, let me go back a couple of moments before we talk about when he said, do you want to come and perform with Shaking Stevens? He said, I was in his house, and he said, do you like Little Titch? I said, yeah. He says, I've got Little Titch's shoes here. And there were, he had Little Titch's shoes.
Why?
Does anyone know Little Titch? I mean, he was...
The older people he will remember.
Little Titch, he used to have these long shoes and he'd lean forward. I mean, I'm talking about 1920. He says, I've got Little Titch's shoes here, do you want them? I went, yeah, what, how much? He went, £400. And I said, no, I can't afford that. He says, you might like this. And he had the filthiest house you've ever seen. And he went round the back of the sofa like that and leant down. He said, what's this here? He says, and he picked it up. He says, Dickie Valentine's jacket. £5. And then he said, do you want to do a gig? I says, what? And he says, he goes, right, we're going up to Blackburn. I went, all right then. So we went up to Blackburn and we're sitting on the train and he taught me how to play some card game or anyway. He was very good on the quiz machines.
Right.
He used to do the quiz machines all the time. All the time he did the quiz machines. And so we were in I was doing this gig. It was, I think, the first gig I'd ever done, and I didn't really know how to do gigs. And he said, right, we'll be in this pub and we'll play the quiz machines. So we did the quiz machines for ages, and I said, what time are we on? He says, you're on at 9 o'clock. And I said, well, it's 9:30. Anyway, what were we talking about? Then he says, here's a good one. He says, you're going to dance with Shakin' Stevens. £10. And I got the £10.
Yeah.
And I went and spent it in the pub directly afterwards.
You could have had two Dickie Valentine jackets for that.
It was brilliant. So I was in Leicester Square. I turn up in my leather jacket, looking like the biker, the skinny biker I was then. I turned up and did me dance with...
Shaky.
With Shaky.
How was he? Was he in... Was just, did Shaky
that was it. Then he went and that was it. Yeah. I got me £10 and I cleared off.
He's the biggest selling artist of the 1980s, you know, in the UK. So he'd sold more records than anyone else in the UK.
Shaky?
Yeah, in the 1980s. Yeah.
And I remember hearing that when he was 40, his brother was 90.
Do you think the shaking kept him young? Is that just if you shake enough, it confuses time?
His brother was even shakier than him.
He'd shaken himself into the future. It could be true. It's possible, right?
I've got stories about Shaky, but I'm not willing to impart. And I'm sure you've heard them as well.
I've heard some stories.
But you have too.
But I
how many people are out there tonight?
There's a
to
few.
See you, Richard Herrings.
They're here to see you.
Oh, you've got a full, like, you know, you've got
it's
a
full downstairs,
a circle, haven't you?
And it could be full in the next two circles. You're we just don't know. There's no way of knowing. No way of knowing whether it's full up there. There's some people.
You're
shout
very
out
popular,
if you're in
Richard
the upper
Herrings.
Circle. Look, that's 200 people up there. The shy people sat up there. Shout out if you're in the upper circle.
Yeah, everyone in the top circle.
There's one person up there. Look, Archbishop of Canterbury.
How come half downstairs is empty and then there's an upper circle?
Because those people wanted to sit
is that
there.
All the rich people?
Yeah, they like to be away from the stairs. Actually, ironically, the stink travels up.
Your Honour.
If you've been to the Canterbury Tales, you'd know that. It's down here, it's almost stink-free. Almost.
That's the yeah.
I wanted to talk to you about your. There's many strings to your bow. Jim Moyer.
Yeah.
Is your real name. There's the first bombshell. And you've been incredibly successful. You know, you've seen as this Dadaist comedian, but you've been very successful in lots of other ways. And musically, there's a lot of. You did a lot of music. You've been on a lot of records.
You've done
Shaking Stevens to begin with, and then on you went.
And then I became a pop star.
Yeah. Which was your favourite of your own singles that you were involved
in? None of them.
You loved them all equally?
None of my singles was what I would really want to have really done.
Right.
But I was just thrown into it, and I ended up doing... well, the first one was Born Free. Let me tell you about, rather than what I would have done, what really happened. I did Born Free, because when we started off, I used to sing songs at the when we were on the theatre. And then when we were on TV, I started singing songs at the start of every show. So it was kind of like, you'll remember this because you were knocking around with your mate.
I was.
At the same time. And we were like the darlings of the NME.
Yes.
So we were all kind of musical based. And when we came out to sing, to do our show, we'd sing a song which might be current at the time. It might be The Smiths or something like that. So I ended up getting offered to do a single by Virgin. And I said I'd do Born Free, a version of Born Free, which I did do with Swing Out Sister, who I turned up on my motorbike. I had a Manx Norton, and I drove it through London and ended up at the Virgin Studios and got out and sang the song and then cleared off.
Right.
And it was as simple as that. That's just what it was like then. I said, well, I'll turn up there, I'll sing this. So I did Born Free as the... You know, and yeah. I did that. And it got to number 3 in the charts. Actually, no. Yeah, it was number 3. And I went and did Top of the Pops. And it was all really quite quick. So I ended up turning up there and doing Top of the Pops. And it was the first time that Blur had done Top of the Pops as well. Right. So I ended up knocking about with it. But I was, like, hanging around at Top of the Pops. This time it was filmed at Elstree, I think. It was after the BBC had moved from BBC Centre to Elstree and then back again. So I was at Elstree, and Blur were on, and the Smiths were on, I think, because I know I talked to Johnny Marr. Anyway, it's just fantastic. You know, you end up doing Top of the Pops.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I thought this is... like when I was a kid, I thought, you know, this isn't like a massive dream to be on Top of the Pops. And then I sang the song and they dropped a load of, like, tinfoil down... And they didn't tell me about it, and I swallowed half of it. It's like gagging halfway through the song.
Could have killed you.
Then the second time we did it, then we became really big pop stars, and we did Dizzy,
yeah,
which got to number 1. And and when we did that, that was really tricky, because we, we had... what's her name? That round-headed woman from...
Bod?
No. Anyway, I did it with the Wonder Stuff, but there was I can't remember her name. She's got a really round, smooth head.
Is who?
She's very popular.
Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey! Yes! She has got a smooth, round head. Anyway, she was complaining that we had too much dry ice on the stage. And we had to keep doing it again and again and again. But my friend Miles, who's in the Wonder Stuff, he says, what we do is we do a shot and then you go on and then you do it and everything kicks in and it's really good and you do a really good performance. But... she kept stopping the performance. So we did about 7 of them. And by the time we got on, we were pissed. Really pissed. And Bob was like crawling around on the floor. And they, in the rehearsal, they had a load of washing machines behind. And I had to do a line into a washing machine and open the door up and do it. But then they'd changed that for a start. They got rid of the camera in right. there. So I spent most of my time half pissed looking in washing machines. And if you look back at it, that is actually what's happening. I'm just like singing it, but I'm looking in the washing machine trying to find the camera.
Could be a new quiz show, couldn't it? It's a good game show, find the camera in the washing machine.
But it was really good fun. I tell you, it's good fun being on Top of the Pops, yeah. And you meet loads of like top pop stars.
Yeah.
David Bowie was on when we did it. He was really grumpy as well.
We presented, to me and Stu presented Top of the Pops twice, so I never sang on Top of the Pops, but I did say the next thing you, after East 17 were on. Yeah, we presented it twice, but they got us.
I think
you never
I
get
did
to do
as
that.
Well.
You must have done that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not many of us Top of the Pops presenters left.
We're from the olden days, aren't we?
I tell you, the main thing I remember is just this sort of stinking mass of overexcited 15-year-old girls, which was just disgusting. I was appalled by just this, like a horrible, multi-headed, stinking, sweaty monster. So the idea of anyone trying to have sex with that audience, just they deserve to be put away for a long, long time. They're disgusting people.
I never really looked in it in that way.
Really, that's my main. I'm more than anything. I was looking at the girls, thinking they were just all screaming, and Robson and Jerome were on, and they were all. I was going, oh my god, this is horrible.
I do remember seeing. I saw a lot of people, but wet. What's he called?
Marty Pello.
Marty Pello, and he came out of the blue. To me, when, you know, I was young to Top of the Pops, and he came out and went, that's awful, isn't it, to you Scottish people like that? I mean, mind you, I'm Scottish,
yeah,
really, yeah. At roots, yeah. But I couldn't tell a word he was saying, but it was obviously that he liked me.
Right.
And I liked that. That it came from Marty Pello.
Yeah. It was a broad church, wasn't it, Top of the Pops? There was a lot of different kind of acts on there. And you did a single with the Smiths, but you got cut out of it. Is that right?
No, I did a single did the backing vocals on That's Entertainment with Morrissey. Mm. Morrissey was a big fan of ours since we started, which was a great. I mean, I was a big Smiths fan, so I thought, this is brilliant. And then we went, he invited us to go to him recording, and I did the backing vocals on That's Entertainment. And then we went and did another big night out, and we did Morrissey the Consumer Monkey, and he took massive umbrage.
Did he?
To it.
You would think Morrissey would turn out to be a dick.
He wasn't really intentionally. It was like supposed to be. I mean, it wasn't anything really.
But
you know,
see, anyone who was a fan would love to be included in. You know, would get what you were doing anyway. It doesn't mean anything.
I don't know why he thought that he was a consumer monkey.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't see. You know, any kind of.
It's hard to know how you take umbrage at that. Say, how dare they say?
How dare he?
How dare they compare me to?
How dare he suggest I'm a consumer monkey?
And this is all stuff I've just gleaned.
I like your notebook.
Thank you. It's a Wookiee notebook from Star Wars. I lost it and was delighted, and then
horrible.
I found it again.
It looks like it's horrible to handle.
It's very polyestery and nasty. I don't know if the actual Chewbacca feels like this. But if he does, I'm not surprised he has to hang around.
That actually looks like the fur that was on Morrissey, the consumer.
Maybe that's why Morrissey got upset.
And he'd never have a handbook like that.
You sang the single of Shaun the Sheep. I thought that would be your favourite single that you had.
What was that?
Shaun the Sheep. Do you remember singing the Shaun the Sheep?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Can you sing a little bit for us of it now? Because I can't remember.
I can't remember it.
I can't remember. Does anyone remember?
It was a job.
I love jobs these, you know, now and then.
Yeah.
And did you? There's a couple of songs you did where they didn't let you put it out or they changed it. It was you did Vienna with and changed the lyrics to Vienna. I would like to know about that. I haven't heard this. Do you remember this? You sang in Vienna.
Yeah.
How did you play it? I can't play it. All I've got is you there to sing it. If you can remember.
Well, that was
how did you change the lyrics?
That was long ago. That was in the early 80s, and we did me and my friend Johnny Irvin, who does music now, and we used to do stuff together, and we did a version of Vienna.
Yeah.
And put it out on a NME.
Oh, this thing. Is this the tape you were touting around? You had a tape that you were selling at the back of the NME.
Yeah, well, I used to flog tapes all the time. Actually, going right back, I used to, in the early 80s in Brixton, I used to have in the back of the NME, I'd put in adverts for tapes by International Cod.
Yes.
And various other people. I just changed the name and make the music. We record music and just pump it out all the time.
Are they worth anything, those cassettes?
Absolutely nothing. If you can find them, I'd like to have them back. Actually.
They must be quite rare. People might not even, they won't even know it's you.
But I did Vienna, yeah. It was, Vienna. But what I do remember, it started off really seriously. You know, like it does.
Yeah.
It got something like that, didn't it?
Yeah.
And then it ended up as. Hello, soup, have a banana. Which is a kind of way that I always like to end a song.
Good. And I don't think we talked much about this. Like, we have done a podcast before, so I'm trying to go down different routes. I don't think we talked much about your art. I think we talked about you being at art school and stuff like that. But you're concentrating quite heavily on the art. There's a website of it. It's hard to describe. Jake and Dinos Chapman described it. Able to command our laughter as a purgative to encourage the viewer to leak at both ends. How you see your art?
Yeah, well, that's...
Is that you what know, are you art, aiming for?
Art is my chief diversion.
Yeah.
I do it every day. Every day I paint. And I do. Today I've been working on a destruction of Fragonard.
It's about time someone took him down. It's some of it's comical and some of it's not comical. Some of it's twisted.
It's twisted and comical.
Yeah,
it's kind of the same way that I look at the way I work in comedy, which is it's hopefully comical.
Yeah.
But it's got a twisted edge.
Yeah, well, it runs all through the work you've done with Bob. The attention to detail of all the sketches and all the costumes and just weird things you have.
Well, I've always done it. Like when we first started, when it all first started, was I was at art school and I wanted to do a kind of Gilbert and George film because I was making films with my friends, and what I wanted to do was make a film of a comedian, what I thought would be a comedian. I'd never actually seen any comedians ever. I'd never watched TV hardly at all, and I thought I'll do this this character called Vic Reeves, which I presume would be like a northern stand-up sort of like a compere.
Yeah.
A club and put all the stuff on in between. Going back, we used to run nightclubs which would have films on and things like that. And a friend of mine said, I run a comedy club. Well, he did run a comedy club. He said, do you want to check it over? And I said, yeah, all right, I'll do it. What do I do? And he said, you get about three comedians and a compere and you check the money off the door. And I said, what if I do it all? He said, well, you check all the money. I said, well, I'm doing that. And I did it, and I made up Vic Reeves, and I made up all the acts that went in between.
Yeah. But that's why, I mean, that's why that was successful, because it wasn't like, you weren't doing anything like anybody else was doing. And that was still at the time where alternative comedy, there were some weird acts amongst alternative comedy, but you weren't seeing them. You were just making up your own thing in your own world.
We were making up our own. I was making up my own thing, and I would make up all the props and everything in my kitchen in Deptford and take it all down to the theatre in a wheelbarrow. And kind of like, I don't know, you were doing the same thing at the same time.
Yeah, you had like, I think you started like a little bit before us. I think like when you were breaking through, we were just sort of starting up. So you were this new thing that was, you were probably on TV. Just
well, we were new. I don't think anyone had done anything like us before.
Yeah.
Because I had no clue at all. I'd never done any, I didn't care really. I thought, this is a good idea. And did it, and then someone said, and we did it at a pub in southeast London, and then we moved to a theatre in Deptford, and then looked out one day, and then there was, if I'm here on this stage doing, which I didn't really care about, I was just like entertaining lots of people, and it was really good fun. And most of them would be friends. But I look out one day, and like from the stage, there's Michael Grade, and there is Alan Yentob. And after the show, a pair of them came round and said, do you want to do this on BBC or Channel 4? And I was going, you're all right. Who's got the most money? Which is what you do, really. Yep. When you...
But I hadn't... Well, talking about the big night out was the starting point, and I hadn't realised you... I mean, A, you didn't really write a script for it. You had three pages, so you didn't let the cameramen see the show beforehand.
No, we didn't. When we did the big night out, we... We used to do it like we did it on stage, and we did it on TV, which is brilliant, I think. Because when we did it on stage, and this is like, we did it for like 2 years, and that was like 6 weeks here, and then time off, and then 6 weeks. So it wasn't 2 years, it was just like a couple of shows. And I used to change the show every night. It'd be a totally different show. I'd write loads of things, and I'd give little pieces of paper to people. And say, you do that. Say to Bob, yeah, you say that, do that, come on and do this. And it was so awfully rehearsed.
Yes.
In fact, it wasn't rehearsed. I just got, yeah, do that. And it was just so badly presented. It was awful. But that was what was great about it.
Yeah.
And then now we come to... You know, when we went on TV, when we did it on Channel 4, we did it at Wandsworth at a studio. I was talking to my friends earlier on, saying when we did it at Wandsworth, we used to not really rehearse it at all. We used to turn up and just like do it. And we used to do it in half an hour.
Yeah.
But
that's astonishing that you did. You recorded a TV show that was half an hour long.
Yeah.
In half an hour.
We used to do it in half an hour. Yeah. Absolutely.
Which is like, if you know about TV, that nobody does that.
No one does it at
which
all
is
now.
Why
it works. But I was saying to my friends earlier on, what was great about it was we used to do that, and also the bloke who used to work in the canteen was Ainsley Harriet.
Right.
And he was the chef, and he'd come out and he'd go, "Hey, geek, look at this. Look what I got for you today, die. You love it." And all, that was Ainsley Harriet. He was just the chef who was in the theatre.
Right.
I know, you know, no wonder he got on television.
The rubber, the green. I remember when our first TV series, they made us retake so many times, and just every recording would take 3 or 4 hours, and the audience wanted to kill themselves by the end. I mean, at the beginning often, but by the end, you know, it was just, and your heart drops as a performer. Because you just think, oh, God, do I really have to do this again? Because you put the camera in the wrong place. But you were just, the cameraman were just trying to follow whatever was...
No, and we're doing it again now. We've just done two... Exactly, second, we've done two big night outs. We did one last year and one this year. And what I did for these last two series is get a fella, a director, who has not done any... studio direction at all. And it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I said, look, you just get on filmers, get cameras on, you know, on the stage. I don't care if you see them at all, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But we want to get it all done in half an hour.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. I want it to be look like it's a live thing, like it's a live, like this.
Like this, yeah.
So it's happening.
Yeah, well, it's
and
true.
And none of this stuff where you know, you've done them things. You know, they're 3 hours long. They're so boring. I never do any of them things. You know those...
panel shows.
You know them panel shows?
Yeah.
You're in there for 3 hours and you're bored stiff. It's not what I do.
No. It's good. But to be honest, if everyone did what you did, then TV would be shit. But one person can do it. One person can do it and be a genius. If everyone did it, it'd be quite annoying, wouldn't it?
I say, if you can't do it in half an hour, you ain't worth doing.
It's true. It's true.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Well, the art stuff is fantastic, and it does run through. I mean, everyone calls your comedy Dadaist, and, you know, your art Dadaist. I'm not even really sure what that means, but it's sort of not... You're not political. It's not political. It's sort of... How would you describe that idea? Is it just doing stuff that's... is broadly more about cocking a snooper authority without being specific. Is that too much? Yeah. I mean, the Dadaism.
It is anarchistic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. You tell me. Yeah. I don't know. I just do what I do. I'm on holiday now. I'm just turning up. I'm only turning up because my friend Richard Herrings invited me on. I'm on holiday.
It's good.
Actually.
We're all on holiday tonight. I was looking at the website is very well worth having a look at. And you can buy your art. You sell originals
prints. Sell my paintings,
My favourite one is a triptych, I guess, or at least a running of three, where you've got the ghost of Freddie Mercury, which is just a sheet.
Yeah.
And then a ghost of Prince, which has a little hairstyle on it. And
actually, those ones, I decided not to do those as prints.
All right.
But as actual drawings, and if anyone ever wants one, I actually do the drawings.
Oh dear, good.
Yeah.
Right.
I do the drawings.
What do you like that? Oh, that's Nancy at the back, isn't it? Yeah.
That's my wife.
That's your wife.
What qualifying that?
She's agreeing that you do that, but it's nice that that's the first thing that is actually true in the show.
What else do you want to know, Richard Herrings?
I didn't have time to watch it, but I wasn't aware that you'd done an expose, an investigation of Jack the Ripper. At least I don't think I was, which Nancy also features in. I did see the beginning of it. Yeah.
I did do that.
Did you manage to solve the Jack the Ripper case? I think you do come up with an answer.
I solved it. All right.
Yeah. You think that would have made more of a splash?
It's 10
years ago.
Quite clear.
Yeah.
And I went and did that thing. You know, when you get, sometimes you get asked to do, look at that. That's a weird kind of way of scratching, isn't it? It's a sort of like a natural scratch, but it's unnatural. I got offered to do this show, have a look at Jack Ripper.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at Jack
Did they
the
come
Ripper.
To you or did you go to them? Did they say you have a look at Jack the Ripper and you weren't interested or did you have some interest
in
Jack
the
Ripper?
I said, all right, I'm interested in that. I'm all right for that. Jack the Ripper, I'm interested. Was he really the Elephant Man?
So who was it? Let's cut to the chase.
Who was it?
Who did it?
I've got a good idea.
Yeah.
I've got a really good idea.
You should tell the authorities so they can wrap this case up. It's been bothering him for a while.
I'm not going to say.
He's still
leaving it right up. Move on to something else. I tell you what, I do have a right idea who it is, but I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
I ain't going to tell you neither.
It's on it's on YouTube. I watch it. Is it still available? This is a fantastic book of your art.
Oh, that's the first art book that I ever did.
Beautiful. Well, you know.
What else have you got there?
It's all my own stuff, otherwise. You're welcome to take any of it. I can't flog it.
No, I signed it. Have I signed it for you?
You haven't signed that yet, no.
There's a little scribble in there. Loose leg.
Probably reduced to £2. Now, I'm going to ask you some merch questions. I have to be careful because I definitely have asked you some before. And I didn't look into it.
Who's interested in the moon landing?
Yeah.
Have you heard about it? It's just happened, didn't it?
Are you going to investigate that?
I was there. I can tell you, I was there at the first moon landing.
Were you on the moon?
No.
Okay.
Me and my mate Peter Shackleton.
Yeah.
Now, right, let me tell you, let's go back in time to 1969. This time, 1969, me and my mate, Peter Shackleton, we were 10. We went round to his mum and dad's house. We were allowed to stay up all night for the moon landing. And we did, we stayed up all night. And it's about 2 o'clock in the morning, I think. We were like that. It's going to happen. But then we all got the day off school the next day, which was brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that great of people, the government, to say, You can have the day off work, the day off school, the next day.
Yeah.
Because the moon landed. It was such a big thing.
Well, I was two. I was just 2 years old. I think I remember the rocket taking off, but it could have been a subsequent.
I remember seeing the whole thing. I was 10. Yeah. I was watching
that was the
whole thing.
Who was your favourite of the three?
Michael Collins.
Was he? I like
the bloke
Michael
who
Collins.
Went round the dark side of the
He just stayed in.
Oh, do you know what? What I used to like is that American bloke who said, he used to call it the Mun. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a great moment. People are going to land on the moon. We're going, it's the moon. The moon. This is the greatest moment in man's history. When man has landed on the moon.
Michael Collins.
You know, you can't call it Uranus anymore.
You can't call the moon Uranus.
No, you can't say Uranus anymore.
Can I say Uranus, do you?
No, it's called your arsehole.
Was that whole bit just leading on to that joke? Did we bring up the moon landing? It was the 50th anniversary, pretty much as we recorded this. I feel sorry for Michael Collins. He was at the reunion bit, and I kind of just imagine people go, sorry, who are you? I'm Michael Collins. What? Who are you? Because everyone forgets Michael Collins. Buzz Aldrin gets, you know, the Toy Story named after him, doesn't he?
And Michael Collins saw something
did
on
he?
The other side
yes.
of the moon.
What did he
That's
see?
That's what he said.
Yeah.
I saw something. I saw the face of God. Oh, he saw something. He saw an alien or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just trying to big his bit up.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
That's what you're thinking,
he's
isn't it?
He's just trying to big his. I'm the bloke going to stay in the capsule.
Did.
Do you know? Do you go with the people? There's a lot of conspiracy theorists hitting Twitter at the moment about the moon landing not being.
Yeah, there's a
genuine.
Lot of conspiracy, isn't there?
Yeah.
JFK, is it really an airport? What have you got to say about that? Nothing.
I won't attempt. I've been defeated. I'm not. So, Bob was a little bit ill just after the last time you were on, which must have been it was a dicey moment. He got married because he thought he was going to die, and then he didn't die.
Yeah,
must be disappointing. He did his will. He got sort of.
How long have we got here?
When you think someone's going to die and then they don't die, is it a bit disappointing that they've stayed alive? They've kind of. It's Clive James has done as well. Clive James had that big thing, oh, I'm going to die soon. Still fucking. It's about 10 years ago. Can't do that, can you? God, fuck off. If you say you're going to die, you've got to fuck off. Anyway, we're delighted Bob survived.
Blimey, look, there's Kate. She comes everywhere.
Ah. Oh.
She goes everywhere I ever go.
Only you can see her, that's the scary thing.
Hello, Kate.
There's an empty seat.
If we went on tour, well, actually, when we didn't go on tour...
Yeah, you were meant
Kate
to.
Kate bought tickets for every night.
Wow. Are you a psychomentalist?
Then we didn't...
Oh, she no, did the sheet for a second.
She's
she
a
went...
lovely girl, and there she is.
Yeah. She does
She's
look
a
nice.
Our biggest fan.
Compared to the people who come to all of my shows, which are more like that, I mean, he doesn't, but they look more like that.
Who are you with today, Kate? Your boyfriend.
Today, that sounds like you're with different guys every... Today's my boyfriend, Jim. Shut up. She seems very nice.
She
so,
does.
Yeah...
Yeah, what?
Well, I was going to talk about Bob. So Bob's all everything's sort of. You did that nice painting or drawing of him thumbs up, and everything was okay.
Yeah, he was in his I don't know, in his downers ups. I did a picture of him when he was all sort of gassed up and looking awful.
Yeah. Is it? I mean, and then you went out on tour after, so you took a few months and then you went, you did the tour.
Yeah, we did. I mean, he was, we were going on tour and then we had a meeting and he said, I'm going to have to go to the doctors and I think it'll be all right. And then he came back and said, it's not going to be all right. And we had to cancel the whole tour because he had a triple heart bypass.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. So, and then we went, all hail to him. He got right back on the horse. We went back and did it. And he's fit as a fiddle. You know, he got back on it and we did it.
Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic that he's done that. It's fantastic that you're back. I mean, he's working with other people. Does that feel the fishing thing? Are you a bit annoyed with him going off fishing with Paul Whitehouse?
Oh, am I jealous?
Yeah, you're jealous of him going off. You stand by him when he's about to die and then he just goes off and does some fishing. Yeah. Why isn't he fishing with you?
I haven't been. I mean, the last time I went fishing was when I was a kid.
Right.
I went fishing. The last time I went fishing, I saw Kurt Cobain's wife.
Okay.
I said, Courtney Love.
So you can do jokes. You just choose not.
That's a joke.
That's a proper joke.
That's a proper joke.
So I'm glad to see a proper joke. But within your company,
that's a proper joke that just came out.
It's good.
I haven't been fishing for years.
No.
And Bob likes fishing.
Can't be hard.
He likes fishing. I like painting.
Yeah.
We're just a couple of old guys.
And do you talk about in an interview, I saw that you have a psychic, you can send each other psychic messages, or is that just that you have a psychic?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, that is, I don't know if you felt that when you were working with your comedy partner, Stuart.
Oh, yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
Stuart Lee. You remember him? Yeah. Stuart Lee?
Yeah.
Did you ever have any psychic moments?
I think you do know where it's weird.
How
that
long
you're...
did you work with... Like, you and, you know, when it was, you know, it was Herring and Lee and Herring.
Lee and Herring.
Actually, Lee and Herring, wasn't
it? It was. It was about 13 years in total.
And did you have a psychic moment?
I think we often knew exactly where the other one was going. You know, your brains were making the same leap. So when something, is this what you mean? When a routine was going along, I would know he was about to say something, or I could tee him up and know that he would understand what I wanted him to do, or vice versa.
Yeah, I get the feeling you didn't.
Okay.
With Bob and me. Do you know what we are? We're absolute brothers. Total, linked like that.
Can you send him a message now? Can you ask him if he'll do my podcast again?
Yeah.
Okay. Has he said anything back?
Yeah, and when we do... I don't know. You know when you get... It works so well.
Yeah, no, it does.
And you can have so much fun with it, and you can just know when... The moment is you say no or yes.
Yeah. But you made this point yourself, I think. There aren't any other double acts, really, proper double acts working.
I don't think there are any.
I mean, maybe French and Saunders, but they're not really doing much. But, like, there's not... All the other double acts have either stopped or were never really properly double acts.
I don't think there are any double acts at all, apart from Bob and me.
That might be true.
What?
Whatever in history...
At the moment,
there aren't.
But for a long time.
But it's also quite rare, I think, for the female double acts sometimes work for a lifetime. It's quite rare, I think, for the male double acts to work without rancour, at least. Without rancour between... And you two don't argue with each other and are friends, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's quite rare, yeah. I think. Morecambe and Wise, I think, were very close. Lauren and Hardy were very close. And stayed friends all the way through, though they had little niggles. But you two it's genuinely your brothers. You genuinely think it's those brothers?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, without doubt.
Yeah. We didn't have that. Stuart's a cunt. But I also, what I like about it, about the stuff you both do separately and together, is it's about getting laughs. That's the most important thing, right? So, like something like House of Fools was a great sitcom because it was just about it. The jokes were more important than anything else. The laughs.
When we did that, it was really just about us getting as many laughs into the seconds that were made on that show.
Yeah.
And what I don't get about, like, a lot of comedy, and American comedy especially, is that you, as far as I'm concerned, it's like you get as many laughs in to one pocket as you can.
Yeah.
And that, if you, if there was an award for getting the most laughs in one show, we get it. But isn't that the kind of
because awards and plaudits go to comedians who can be serious. You know, it's like, oh, he's a comedian, but he's being serious. Isn't this amazing? That's the sort of thing that you mean, is it?
Well, yeah. All I'm interested in is getting as many laughs into people's faces as possible.
Yeah,
there are things that, you know, I mean, you look at a film or you look at a piece of art, and what you're interested in is getting an emotion out of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if it's laughter, then go for as many as you can.
Yeah.
It's like going for as many orgasms as you can in one shot.
Yeah.
And
going for, not necessarily getting, Nancy. That's
I'm talking about as many hits as you can get.
No, definitely.
If it's a pitiful thing, if it's sadness, I can write probably the most saddest song of film ever. And if I'm going for sadness, I'll go for sadness. But if I'm going for a comedy, I'll go for comedy. And I want bang, bang, bang. And that's what we did with House of Fools.
Were you being told by executives that that was wrong and that you should be doing something different? I read that they were kind of advising you how to change.
I've not heard that.
Right.
Well, I think, you know, executives have never come into my life.
No, I can't imagine. Well, that's why I was surprised when I saw it. But you know, you're sort of told that people go, you're meant to do, not meant to do comedy like that. Comedy's meant to be like this.
I've never paid any attention to what anyone has ever told me to do.
I know, but I would sort of been just amazed if anyone tried. That's all I was. I hope that someone had tried.
Executives.
It is filmed, but they can see it. They're all watching. It's all right. You're safe. You're in a safe space. As it when it comes to TV here. Let's see how we go. Oh, my goodness. It's flying by.
Canterbury.
It's flying by. What?
Who's from Canterbury?
Anyone from Canterbury? Yeah, weird.
It's a great city. I love
it. Yeah, it is nice. It's a graduation day today. It's been lovely. What? It's the graduation day of the Canterbury Kent University of Kent. The Canterbury Kent University
Richard
of Kent.
Herrings. Has just... I love calling you Richard Herrings.
I enjoy it too.
Richard Herrings has just announced that it's graduation day.
So if you haven't done all your work, you haven't got a degree. Now, fuck off. It's very sweet out there. Yeah. It's a beautiful city.
It is,
yeah.
So where are you going next, Richard Herrings?
Next I'm going to York and then the Edinburgh Fringe.
Are you going to York next?
Yeah.
So you're travelling on train?
No, I'll probably drive. It's easier.
Have you got your Fiat Berlingo?
I've got Volkswagen Charan, mainly for touring, unless it's close, then I have a e-Golf electric car.
So, Richard Herrings.
Yes.
What will you do tonight? You'll go back to your...
I'm going
to
go back to my house in Hertfordshire.
Oh, you can actually drive back from
well,
here.
Well, my young boy will drive me back. I've got a young boy... various...
Oh, you've got someone who drives
young,
you.
I've got a young boy who drives. He does various services
and
for me on tour.
He drives you to your next proposition.
Well, we're only doing these every now and again, so it's quite nice. Because I was touring quite heavily, and now I've got two little tiny children at home, and it's difficult to be away. Not like
you
yours.
You get back home to them.
They're little.
Where do they live?
They live with their mother and me for the moment. So that's good. Might not be true at the time of broadcast.
So you, you'll go maybe go back and see them for a moment, and then go off to York.
Well, actually, I'm going tomorrow. I'm going to Glasgow to be.
Oh, hang
in,
on a minute.
To
wait
be
a
in.
Just hold back.
But I'm not
you
doing
said
a podcast.
The next show's in York.
Yeah, but I'm not doing a podcast in Glasgow.
You changed it to Newcastle.
I am.
Oh, Glasgow.
I'm in. I'm performing in the House of Games Champion of Champions. Yeah, so I'm going to lose because I'm tired. It's a difficult quiz against people who are probably Charlie Higson will be there. I bet he's probably going to be in it.
Yeah, I'll bet he'll
be there. And then I'm coming back again.
Yeah. So what do you think of Canterbury?
I love Canterbury. You know, weirdly, because I usually do the other theatre in town, the Gulbenkian. And so I don't usually come into the heart of Canterbury. It's been a little while. It's beautiful here. I was trying to... when we came here as Lee and Herring, and I think we might have been at this theatre, I might be wrong, there was some little alley with a really funny name, and I was looking around for it so that I could do a joke about it, and I couldn't find again. What is it?
Turn again line.
That's not that good. It's no grope. There's always one called Grope Cunt Lane, isn't there, in most cities.
Grope Cunt Lane is in... you got Funny Lane here.
Okay, that might be it. Did it? There we go. You know all about it, don't you, mate? And you disapprove. I liked it when it was called Grope. You and Trump, you love that.
I always used to go down Grip Cock Lane.
Did you?
When I was in Manchester.
Yeah. It's a good place to go. They're all just named after. That's what all the streets are named after what you used to sell in the streets. It's nice. It's quaint, isn't it?
It is.
Orange is one about orange. There used to be oranges sold in one of your streets. Pathetic.
Arsefinger Lane. in Nottingham.
Yeah.
It's very popular.
Oh well, we may have got enough.
Yeah,
we may have got enough.
Ground to a halt.
When was the last time you travelled by coach, Jim?
On coach?
Yeah, when you're on a coach. Not a bus, but on a coach, specifically from a town to town in on a coach.
1989.
Yeah. I reckon mine was about then. How was it?
And that, ladies and gentlemen,
I think we might have got it now on that. Where did you go in 1989 on a coach?
You've got to go and see your kids, haven't you?
Yeah, I do.
I know I certainly have.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you give a massive round of applause to Jim Moore and Big Reeves? I'll see you in the foyer if you are interested. Thank you very much. I've been listening to Rahana Sapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Jim Moyer / Vic Reeves. Thank you to Pest for playing this music out on tour for us as well. It's very nice of them. Thank you to everyone at the Marlowe Canterbury, to everyone at Go Faster Straight, to everybody at British Comedy Guide, Acast, and everybody who knows me. Thanks to the producer, James Hingley. I'm indebted to my executive producer, Ben Walker. This is a Fudge, Go Faster Stripe and Sky Potato production. Go to gofasterstripe.com to buy stuff and badges and richtown.com/gigs. to find out if I'm coming to you. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thanks for listening. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can. And make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.